ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। गुड मॉर्निंग। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 13 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द बिहेवियर ऑफ अ परफेक्ट पर्सन टेक्स्ट नंबर 32। पश्यामि धनिनां क्लेशं लुब्धानां अजितात्मनां भयादलब्ध निद्राणां सर्वतोभि विशंकिनां। पश्यामि कंटिन्यूड आई एम एक्चुअली सीइंग हाउ अ रिच मैन हु इज अ विक्टिम ऑफ हिज सेंसेस इज वेरी ग्रीडी टू एक्युमुलेट वेल्थ and therefore suffers from insomnia due to fear from all sides despite his wealth and opulence. Purport by his divine grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Greedy capitalists accumulate wealth under so many miserable conditions, the result being that because they collect money by questionable means, their minds are always agitated. Thus, they are unable to sleep at night and they have to take pills for mental tranquility to invite sleep. And sometimes even the pills are a failure. Consequently, the result of having accumulated money by so much labor is certainly not happiness but only distress. What is the value of acquiring a comfortable position if one's mind is always disturbed? Narottam Das Thakur have therefore sung, Samsara Bishanale Dibanishi Hiya Jale Judai Tena Koinu Upai. I am suffering from the poisonous effect of material enjoyment. Thus my heart is always burning and is almost on the verge of failure. The result of the greedy capitalist's unnecessary accumulation of wealth is that he must suffer from a blazing fire of anxiety and always be concerned with how to save his money and invest it properly to get more and more. Such a life is certainly not very happy. But because of the spell of the illusory energy, materialistic persons engage in such activities. As far as our Krishna consciousness movement is concerned, we are getting money naturally by the grace of God by selling our literature. This literature is not sold for our sense gratification but to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. We need so many things. And Krishna is therefore supplying us the requisite money to advance this mission. The mission of Krishna is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And for this purpose, we naturally must have sufficient money. Therefore, according to the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, we should not give up attachment to money that can spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-256, प्रापंचिकतया बुद्ध्या हरि संबंधी वस्तुना मुमुक्षुभिः प्रतियागो वैराग्यम् फल्गु कथ्यते। When persons eager to achieve liberation renounce things which are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, though they are material, this is called incomplete renunciation. Money that can help in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is not a part of the material world, and we should not give it up thinking that it is material. Sri Rupa Goswami advises, अनासक्तस्य विषयान् ताराम् उपयुञ्जत निर्बन्ध कृष्ण संबंधे युक्तं वैराग्यमुच्यते। When one is not attached to anything but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-255. Money is undoubtedly coming in great quantities, but we should not be attached to this money for sense gratification. Every cent should be spent for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, not for sense gratification. There is danger for a preacher when he receives great quantities of money, for as soon as he spends even a single cent of the collection for his personal sense gratification, he becomes a fallen victim. The preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement should be extremely careful not to misuse the immense quantities of money needed to spread this movement. Let us not make this money the cause of our distress. It should be used for Krishna, and that will cause our eternal happiness. Money is Lakshmi, or the goddess of fortune, the companion of Narayan. Lakshmiji must always remain with Narayan, and there need be no fear of degradation. Hare Krishna. We have a very nice purport we are discussing today. So Prahlad Maharaj is being told by the Brahmana that I am seeing how a rich man who is greedy for more and more wealth, he suffers and always in anxiety and insomnia. So Prabhupada divides the purport into two parts. First part he explains about how the whole world is crazy after money and they are greedy and they are suffering. And second part talks about how devotees should also be careful not to spend money for their personal sense gratification. We will take the first part of the purport where Prabhupada is talking about how the world is suffering because of this. And this greed for wealth is one of the six anarthas that we have to struggle with. Lust, anger, envy, pride, illusion and greed. So we are affected and attacked by different anarthas, sometimes lust, sometimes envy, sometimes greed. So this is a very serious anartha. And it's interesting to see that in the outside world also, people, although they are obsessed with money and they are crazy, but renunciation of wealth and leading a simple lifestyle is actually appreciated. Sometime back, I was doing some research on one gentleman. I was writing an article for the BTG. So, Mr. Warren Buffet. And while reading about him, I was wondering if this gentleman is actually a renunciant in disguise. Because the way the media was showering appreciation on this man, because he is financially very endowed, very wealthy. And the whole media was appreciating him for being a simple man at heart. Now, generally, it's easy to not to flash your cash, as they say, not to show off, if you don't have any cash. But somebody like Warren Buffet, he toppled Bill Gates to become the world's richest man. That crown was conferred upon him. And he donated $37 billion to charity. He is the CEO and chairman of Berkshire Hathaway. And he hasn't taken a salary hike for the last 25 years. He is still drawing $100,000 per annum. And his financial officer, chief financial officer, gets four times more salary than him. He has deliberately not taken any hike. And he doesn't go for parties. And he pays back his company expenses such as phone charges and things like that. He drives his own car to work. And basically he says no to all hedonistic things, all sense gratificatory things. So he has basically the whole media was going gaga, going crazy about him because his determined unwillingness to make a show of being rich. And like, you know, he's really determined to keep it simple. Now, I was just thinking that the whole media is glorifying such a person means that even karmis are convinced actually. They realize and they know deep within that simplicity is desirable. That understanding is there. And what this man is teaching us is that human life is a life of responsibility. Now, his motivation for giving up so much wealth is not clear. We don't know why somebody is giving up so much money. It could be for anything. But at least his refusal to pursue this, you know, I get what I want lifestyle, that is very refreshing. That comes as a breath of fresh air at this time, especially at a time when crass greed, you know, it is called as ambition. Lust is called as passion for life, and they use nice terms. So at such a time, somebody is leading a very frugal life, very reserved life. That is very appreciable, no doubt. And also it has, I'm sure we can't remember many examples of people who are not greedy for wealth. Very few parallels are there. And this is the concept that is appreciated and glorified in the scriptures. The Ishopanishad very clearly explains, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, et kincha jagatyam jagat, tena tektena bunjita, magrida kasya svid dhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept only those things which are necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things knowing fully well to whom they belong. This is the very first mantra of Ishopanishad. So the scriptures tell us that we should recognize the proprietorship of the Supreme Lord and then contribute our own little worth in ensuring that the needs of everybody is taken care of in the society. And then we are leading a life of responsibility. But the problem in the society is everybody considers this body is all in all, this one life as all in all, and therefore we confine all our ambitions, all our desires only to this one lifetime. We don't see beyond this. Therefore, there is complete greed. And some people may even donate huge sums of money, but that could be to gain popularity as a great philanthropist. So we don't know what are the motivations of different people. So basically the whole world is centered around acquisitions, gross and subtle acquisitions, money or name, fame. And all these are different kinds of bodily misidentifications. So a person, a greedy person who is pursuing a lot of money, his sense of security, his sense of identification is with that money. Somebody may have subtle sense of identification. Strong. But what happens, because it is material, by the power of time, those things have to be taken away. Material energy will take it away. At that time, we become restless because we have anchored ourselves on very shallow things. So if somebody is very attached to money, then what will happen? He will be completely restless and insecure when market conditions change, when political fortunes get twisted, or when stock markets crash. Miserable. So therefore, one has to be focusing, or one has to be investing his energy, investing his consciousness and desiring to pursue not any of these material things, especially money. One should abandon greed for wealth. Somebody may abandon greed for wealth, but may want to be famous. Ever mentioned. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying once that a devotee's prayer is, Krishna, I don't want wealth, but I also don't want the pride of not wanting wealth. So this is very significant. And for most of the people, this Ishavasyam concept is utopian. Let us make hay while the sun shines, as they say. Just grab as much as you can get. Srila Prabhupada was once on a morning walk in Juhu. He saw one poor man, nothing to eat, shivering on the street, starving. Prabhupada saw him. And on the same pavement, Prabhupada saw one fat man jogging. So Prabhupada connected the two and he said, look at this irony of modern society. We have somebody starving and shivering because there's nothing to eat, and somebody is running to lose weight, which is caused by overeating. So it's amazing coexistence of extreme poverty and stinking opulence. They simultaneously exist in human society. Therefore, I think in 15 years ago, there was one very historical event that took place. For those of you who are in college or who are aware, Sudan, I think, was one of the countries which was facing a lot of problem because of greed. People had accumulated all the money and all the wealth and resources of the country. And United Nations relief also was grabbed by different groups and people are dying of hunger. So one gentleman, Kevin Carter, he went and took photographs of people dying of starvation. And he had one particular photograph of a child who is dying because he has nothing to eat, and next to the child is a vulture standing, waiting to devour that child. This photograph won him the Pulitzer Prize. But unfortunately, he was awarded it posthumously. He died because of stress and depression, even mad because of that scene that he had seen of extreme exploitation and greed for wealth that was existing. So this is the reality that we are facing in the society today. There is extreme greed for wealth. And if the more we are attached to these things and consider this as our shelter, with the passage of time, as the things change in the material world, we'll be miserable because we are holding on to something that is shallow. Srila Prabhupada very eloquently exposes these wild pursuits of modern man in his Nectar of Instruction purport. I would like to read it. It's a small 4 sentences, but very powerful. Prabhupada says, according to nature's arrangement, living entities who are lower on the evolutionary scale, they do not eat or collect more than necessary. Consequently, in animal kingdom, there is generally no economic problem or scarcity of resources. Isn't it? It's an amazing statement. Like, Prabhupada would say, elephant in African jungles or an ant, they all get food. 10 cows will not come and gang up all the grass and prevent other cows from getting it. You know? Animals don't face scarcity of food created by a member of the same species. And animals are not afraid of a member of the same. It's not that a rat is afraid of a rat. A rat is afraid of a cat. Human species is the most special species, where the biggest fear for human is a human being. Actually, many times a member of the same family. What to speak of a human being. It's crazy, you know. And Prabhupada further writes, if a bag of rice is placed in a public place, birds will come and eat a few grains and go away. Birds will take some and go away. Dog will come, take some and go away. Prabhupada says, a human being, however, will take away the whole bag. He will eat all that the stomach can hold and then try to keep the rest in storage. According to scriptures, this collecting more than necessary is prohibited, and now the entire world is suffering because of this. It's a beautiful statement. So Srila Prabhupada is expertly exposing this present scenario, present situation in the world. So he said that a greedy man, he will kill others by starvation and he will kill himself by anxiety. He will deprive others, he will have everything. It's not that he is going to be blissful with all that. He will have so much anxiety. Prabhupada is writing here, he will take sleeping pills, and then even pills don't work sometimes. Prabhupada says, he will have to take pills to invite sleep. Amazing. So this is one reason why a person should abandon greed. That is the reason of the social responsibility. A responsibility for the society, for God, for our, as a living entity, this is a responsibility not to pursue more than necessary. Besides this, there is another reason why we need to keep our lives simple. And that is the personal satisfaction that this guarantees. That means the mind cannot be satisfied by pursuing more and more. The more we fulfill our desires, the mind continues to remain dissatisfied. As Mahatma Gandhi said, there is enough in this world for everyone's need, but not sufficient for even one person's greed. Because the human mind is fickle. And if we let it loose, it will not know any peace. There will be no peace. Many times we see, oh, this is a very attractive object. I must possess it. And the more elusive it is, the more difficult it is to get, greater the passion to get it. And as we start unleashing our passion and we want it, we fight for it, we compete, then what happens? Then even if we get it, we are miserable, because in this material world, there is what is called as everything follows one law. and that is law of, we used to call it in economics as law of diminishing marginal returns. Means it gives you happiness, enjoyment, and then no happiness, and eventually that happiness goes down. The same object. That means with every successive pleasure that we derive from an object or from a person, the taste of that object reduces in greater proportion. So what happens eventually is a drastic gap occurs. Big gap. Gap in what? Gap in the expectation that we have for getting happiness. That expectation keeps increasing, and on the other hand, the pleasure that is experienced keeps reducing. It's a big gap. And then a human being becomes desperate to bridge that gap. And what do we do to reduce that gap? We spend more, we buy more. Basically, a person goes wild. And that doesn't give happiness. Again, the same cycle. The cycle becomes very, very deep. It's all like scratching of an itch, as Prahlad Maharaj says. There is minute relief we get. But that minute relief is accompanied by a greater itch. And then scratching, more scratching. So repeated such scratching ultimately results in pain, agonizing pain and bleeding. So basically there is misery all the way. So therefore, even to experience mental peace, the scriptures advise us, don't just go around grabbing and enjoying. Greed can be individually frustrating and socially disastrous, both. Individually frustrating, we have many examples of people who have been victims of greed. Some years ago, there was this famous example of Mr. Ancy Cronier. Very famous cricket player. He revolutionized cricketing strategies by getting laptop on the cricket field and planning. But he became greedy for money. The South African team was winning all cricket matches, but still he wanted more money, more money, more money. And overnight, in a dramatic scandal, he was exposed as being a victim of greed. And eventually, he was just 36 years old. He died in an air crash and nobody talked about him. It was a nightmarish life for him. Classic victim of greed. And socially we have so many ills. Right now in the society, one of the biggest dangers is the cheating by the pharmaceutical industry. Classic example of greed. The Outlook magazine had exposed some time back that for every four medicines we buy, one of them is spurious, fake. The fake drug industry is at around 5,000 crores, size of that market. 30% of the legitimate drugs. And any life-saving drug or popular drug has at least 15 copies in the market. What to speak of common man? Retailers, wholesalers, chemists, and even the legitimate companies cannot identify these fake drugs. They're a mixture of chalk, wheat flour, sugar, all these things, and they are it's a big racket going on. So we can see the greed effect is individually a person gets frustrated and miserable, and socially all frustrated individuals come together and they create a disaster. And Srimad Bhagavatam reveals this in a very graphic way by telling us about the plight of the king of demons. In the same 7th canto, Mr. Hiranyakashipu. What was his plight? What was his tragedy? He had unrivaled controllership over the whole universe. Everybody bowed to him. He had unlimited wealth. He would simply raise his eyebrows and he would invoke fear in the hearts of everyone. And all heavenly delights and enjoyments he could summon to himself. This was his power. So he was basically expert in conquering the world without, but within. He never addressed the needs of the soul. Therefore, the 7th canto describes, Saitam nirjita kakuba ekrat vishayan priya natapi josha bunjano natripyat ajitendriya. He had everything Saitam Nirjita Kakuba Ekrat Vishayan Priyan. He was the one enjoyer. Everything under his command. Atapi Josha Bunjano. He could enjoy as much as he wanted. And whenever he wanted. But still, Na Tripyat Ajitendriya. He was not satisfied because his senses were not in control. So the whole universe bore to his command. But Hiranyakashipu was miserable and insecure because his 5-year-old son worshipped Krishna. So this led to his unfulfilled lust and greed and anger coming out. And he attacked his son and eventually he himself was killed. So therefore, this is the 2 points that we have discussed today. That first is about greed. One should abandon because we should know that everything belongs to Krishna and we should take only those things which belong to us. That is the first understanding. And second is also not only it is a question of responsibility, also mentally we will be more happy and more peaceful if we abandon pursuing greedy things. And there is a nice story I read about this, that there was one man who was very greedy. And the king told him, okay, you want a lot of land. Okay, I'll give you as much as you want. Only condition is you have to run. From sunrise to sunset, as much land as you can run and cover, that is yours. But condition is, before sunset, you should reach the starting point. If you don't reach the starting point, then you don't get anything. So he ran like a raging wind because he wanted all the land. Full speed of running. And then he saw a couple of hours was left for the sun to set. Then he said, no, I have to come back because I need. If I don't come back to the starting point, I won't get anything. So he started running full speed. But now we have to run faster. Already he was tired. So he was panting, huffing, and his legs were collapsing. But he was somehow struggling with great determination. He was holding his stomach. Somehow his stomach was paining, but still he ran. And finally, as the sun set, he made it to the finishing line. He just made it. But he was so exhausted by this Herculean effort that he collapsed on the ground. Never to rise again. He died. He died because that was an intense effort. So he got hundreds of acres of land. But a 5-foot coffin laid his body to rest. Finished. So that is a case of the people in this world. We pursue so much and eventually we have everything, but we are not there to enjoy it. So therefore the scriptures advise that we should not pursue these things. Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto says that just like a person may be very famous, just like the person may have a lot of fame, or a virtuous person may have wonderful qualities, but all of them can be destroyed or have no value if a person is having even little amount of greed. All the fame and good qualities will be nullified by little amount of greed. Just as a very attractive person's beauty is marred by a small tinge of white leprosy. So therefore, greed has been condemned in the scriptures. So then what is the secret of satisfaction? What actually we have to do? And that is, we have to connect to Krishna. As a very famous philosopher said, one who is content is rich. A person who is actually satisfied is a rich person. So when we lead a Krishna conscious life, what we are actually doing, what we mean by a Krishna conscious lifestyle, is we are leading a life which is centered on daily prayer, worship, and service. So when we do this, when this becomes the foundation of our life, morning to evening we are centering our life on giving Krishna to others, rendering devotional service, then a kind of serenity fills our lives. We feel inherently kind of satisfied, nourished by the process of Krishna consciousness. And then the mind, which is constantly pushing us to get what I want, you know, mind is always, that rambling of the mind is replaced by a desire to improve the quality of our offering to Krishna. Then we have a desire to make our service better for Krishna's pleasure. So, basically mind has two functions, liking and disliking. So, constantly accepting and rejecting by the mind, and that ensures that we are never happy. In the material world, that is the whole game. Constantly accepting, rejecting. But when we connect to Krishna, then the material allurements, they are there, but we get the strength to resist them. And therefore, the mind is peaceful. And how does this Krishna connection, the science of Krishna connection work? It works when our heart is filled with remembrance of Krishna. Whether we are doing service or prayers or sadhana, chanting, when we are absorbed, basically means loving remembrance of Krishna, favorable remembrance of Krishna. So we are hearing Bhagavatam classes, we are chanting regularly, daily. So all these activities help us transcend this battering of the mind. For that greed, the anartha of greed is taken care like this. So to the extent we are connected to Krishna, then our happiness with the passage of time only increases. And the desire for having material possessions, that wanes away because we now have attraction to Krishna. And there are many examples for this from history. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, he revealed the glories of his devotees who were absorbed in this loving remembrance of Krishna. And thus they had given up attachment to the material wealth of this world. We have great example of Sridhar Kolavich, who was a poor banana leaf seller. And selling banana leaves, like now, even at that time, it was not a very lucrative profession. But still, Sridhar was happy. He would offer 50% of his earnings to serve the Lord and spend his other time happily chanting and hearing. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged an audience for him during the Mahaprakash Leela. And we know this famous pastime. And the Supreme Lord, he revealed his glory, his opulence to him. And after revealing his supreme majesty, he asked Sridhar, "Okay, Sridhar, now you ask for any benediction that you want. I'll give you mystic perfections." Sridhar said, "I don't want that. I will give you heavenly kingdom." Sridhar said, "What will I do with that, my lord?" So Mahaprabhu kept offering him many benedictions, and there is a verse which I don't remember. Sridhar says, "Oh lord, please relax, don't get agitated. I don't want any of these things. Tumi ho dhira. You relax." So Sridhar was completely satisfied. The Lord was offering him everything, but he was not tempted because his only desire was that he wanted to remember the Lord and engage in loving devotional service. And that is why the Lord was purchased by his love. So that means there was this tremendous, unlimited amount of spiritual wealth in his heart. Somebody might say, "Oh, Sridhar was poor, he didn't have any money." No, but if you see the scriptures, we have the example of Maharaj Ambarish, who ruled the whole planet Earth. But he also had unlimited wealth of Krishna consciousness in his heart. Therefore, he was using all his senses, all his wealth in service of Krishna. So therefore, Maharaj Ambarish is also as renounced as Sridhar Kolavich because his life was centered on serving Krishna. And today's purport, Prabhupada is giving these two beautiful verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anasaktasya vishaya netaram upayunjata nirbanda krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya muchyate prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshibhi pratiyago vairagyam palgu katyate. If something belongs to Krishna, then if you use it in Krishna's service, that is vairagya. And if something belongs to Krishna and we reject it, saying that I am renouncing it, that is falgu vairagya. Falgu vairagya means false renunciation. So therefore, this is a very important point. And in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada also warns devotees that one should be careful not to misuse the immense quantities of money for personal sense gratification. This will be the cause of distress. So how can we avoid this temptation? How can we avoid becoming victims of greed and victims when money comes our way or some attractive material objects comes our way? The solution is, we have to be greedy. We have to have possessions, but we have to have possession of, not the wealth, but we have to have possession of Krishna. A higher principle is to possess Krishna, or not just from, that may not be the right word, but to be hankering, to be wanting Krishna, the wealth of Krishna. So a devotee knows that possessing Krishna is a higher principle than simply renouncing the wealth of this world. So that to the extent a devotee is connected to Krishna and pursuing, trying to get attached to Krishna, he is renounced and is happy. In the teachings of Queen Kunti, Prabhupada explains this very beautifully. He says, as soon as a living entity desires that I don't want anything to possess, he is finished. Because a living entity cannot be a renouncer in the true sense. We may renounce, but why do we renounce? We renounce something only so that we can get something more valuable. Prabhupada gives two examples. A student, he sacrifices his childish proclivities. Why does he do that? So that he can get better education. He can pass the exam. A servant may renounce his job. Why? Because he can get a better job. So Prabhupada says, similarly, a devotee also, he renounces the material world. Not for nothing, but because he gets something tangible in spiritual value. The devotees are generally without material, proper sentence, very beautiful sentence. The devotees are generally without material prosperity, but they have a very secret treasure house in the lotus feet of the Lord. So they have a big treasure house, and that is the lotus feet of Krishna. That was the treasure which six Goswamis possessed. Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Rup Goswami, they renounced. Tektva Turnam Shesha Mandalapati Shenim Sada Tuchavat. They renounced great wealth because they had this bigger treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna. So if we don't seek this treasure, then our mind will always abuse us, will always harass us. First, it will agitate us to go for acquisitions, to get more and more things of this world. And when acquisition doesn't satisfy us, say we may become a devotee, then I may say, oh, I don't want all this money, I don't want all these possessions. So then instead of acquisition, there is the false ego encourages us for accomplishment. I want to accomplish, I want to distribute 1,000 books, not because it's pleasing to Krishna. I will not take any money from all the fund I collect. But I want to be number one, or that sense of accomplishment is very strong. So somehow with superior intelligence, we may work our way out of that also, from acquisition, from accomplishment. And then there is a strong desire for appreciation. Okay, I need to be appreciated and loved for what I am doing. I should be acknowledged for what I am doing. And eventually, somehow, even if that doesn't come our way, we get frustrated. So therefore, the fourth thing that we have to actually work for is attraction to Krishna. So acquisition, accomplishment, appreciation, it may come, it may go. But if I have attraction for Krishna, then even when we are not appreciated, or even when we don't have a lot of things, or if things keep changing, a devotee will be satisfied because he's focusing on pleasing Krishna's transcendental senses. And this is the only solution for all suffering in this world. When Dhruva Maharaj goes to the forest, is about to go to the forest, his mother tells him, Nanyam tatha padma palashalochanad dukkha chidam te mrigayami kanchana yo mrigyate hasta grihita padmaya shetare ranga vimrigyamanaya. She says, my dear child, there is nobody who can remove your distress other than Lord Vishnu. Dukkha chidam te mrigayami kanchana yo mrigyate hasta grihita padmaya. Lakshmi Devi is running in the forest with a lotus flower in her hand to look for Krishna. Shetare ranga vimrigya manaya. And all the people in this world, including the great demigods, they are running after Lakshmiji because they want her mercy. But Lakshmiji is running after Krishna. So therefore she says, dukkha chidam te mrigaya. Only person who can satisfy us, the only person who can relieve us from all distress is Krishna. Therefore we have to take shelter of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, because he was in this consciousness, he was not affected by the allurements. And he was having the ability to use all the resources and money in service of Krishna. He was not impressed by some cheap gimmicks of great yogis and renunciants who would give up things of this world. When somebody bought a photograph to Srila Prabhupada of a yogi whose photograph was like this, you know, he had a lot of money in front of him and he was doing like this. You know? As if it is disgusting. And the whole article was on how this yogi was condemning the money. And he was saying, I couldn't get sleep last night because in the morning they discovered that there was a 5 paise coin under my pillow for this money. So money caused me so much distress and I get shocked when I see money. I can't stand it. For that photograph was there like this. He was doing like this. So Prabhupada was shown this. Prabhupada was not impressed. Prabhupada said, you get another photographer and take my photo. Keep all the money in front of me. And my pose will be like this. I'll do like this. I'll take all the money. Because Prabhupada knew. He had that ability to use everything for Krishna's service. See, the fundas are very clear. If you find a 100 rupee, 1,000 rupee note in the street, there are two options people may opt for. One is, a person may say, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. I keep it. I got it. He may keep it. So other person, the second choice is, I renounce this money because this doesn't, you know, I just renounce. But both these choices are bad, actually. The ideal choice would be to get that wallet, get that money, find out who, to whom it belongs and return it to the owner. So therefore, there are people who are enjoyers, bogies. They, victims of greed, they take up everything for their own sense gratification. They are most miserable. They are bogies, they are enjoyers, they are thieves. And there are some renunciants who are false renunciants who give up the wealth of this world, but it never belonged to them in the first place. It's like you go to a neighbor's house and say, I want your TV, I want your computer, and you take it. You are a bogie. But if you go to your neighbor's house and say, I renounce your television, I renounce your computer, that is, but it never belonged to you in the first place. So a person may say, I renounce this world, but sir, it never belonged to you. Therefore, ideally, everything belongs to the Lord. That's a verse we discussed in the beginning. Isha vasyam idam sarvam. So we use everything. And when we do that, we are actually giving up things. We are exhibiting great renunciation. What is that? We are giving up the deep-rooted conception of being the enjoyer and proprietor. That we give up when we use everything in Krishna's service. Therefore, that is the most intelligent choice. So, as sadhakas, we have to work on two things, therefore, to conclude. We have to work on giving up the sense of proprietorship and enjoyment, abandoning everything, but simultaneously knowing that it doesn't belong to me, but it belongs to Krishna, and we get attached to Krishna and use everything in service of Krishna. So therefore, whether it is somebody like Sridhar Kolavech or somebody like Maharaj Ambarish or somebody in between, we all can be renunciants. And even Mr. Warren Buffet, he can also take his renunciation a step higher by engaging in devotional service of Krishna. So it's possible. The only thing is you have to get connected to Krishna, and that is real renunciation as discussed in today's purport. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.